This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Demi, I am so hungry right now.
Well, you know what you should eat?
My shoes?
Yeah, you could eat your shoes, or you could eat something a little bit more tasty. Like some Ballpark Flame Grilled Jerky, my man.
Ballpark Flame Grilled Jerky, my man?
That's right. It's a better source of protein, it's gluten-free, and it contains no artificial flavors or colors and no added MSG, unlike those shoes you were wearing.
No added Madison Square Garden, okay.
That's right.
How many flavors do they have?
Five. Five delicious flame-grilled flavors with three beef varieties and two pork varieties, all right? You got original beef.
Uh-huh.
You got bourbon barbecue beef.
Oh.
You got your peppered beef.
Oh.
And you got your barbecue pork and your teriyaki pork.
Mm.
That's right.
That sounds delightful. And it also sounds delicious. Sounds tough and tender.
Ooh, it's all of those things. And you can get it in a store near you, all right?
All right. Well, then I'm going to go to the store.
Go to a store near you.
I will. Bye. I quit this podcast. I'm going to the store.
Good. Let's both go to the store.
Okay. Let me shut down this robot real quick.
Yeah, it's weird that we record on a robot, but it's what we got to do now.
Take me to the store.
No. No.
Okay. Ballpark Flame Grilled Jerky. Find it in a store near you today.
Kevin, how's your cooking?
It's not good. I'm pretty stupid when it comes to cooking.
Ooh, well, you need to know how to cook.
I do. I need to know how to cook to make friends and impress people.
Yeah, and to make your way around the kitchen to start eating healthier and saving money instead of ordering expensive takeout again.
Yeah, I'm into that, but I don't even know where to begin. There's no way. There's no way I can be helped.
Buddy, you gotta start at BlueApron.com. They've got you covered.
Mm.
For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers all the fresh ingredients you need to make home-cooked meals if you can just follow some easy step-by-step instructions.
Okay, I can do that, I think.
Yeah, each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, all right? No overwhelming trips to the grocery store, no sad takeout, and it doesn't even matter your dietary restrictions, you know? Just you can prepare all sorts of dishes, like you can prepare some crispy chicken breast with formova beet pistachio salad, some creme fraiche. You can even prepare a cod with heirloom cauliflower and mustard greens, you know?
What if I'm vegan or vegetarian?
Well, don't worry, because Blue Apron's got you covered, too. You can prepare something like a broccoli casserole or some quinoa and black bean burger with some sweet potatoes, you know? Just something that really fills you up.
I'm into it. I'm so into that.
Well, guess what? You don't even have to leave your home to make it, because
okay.
It gets mailed to you, and you can make it right in your own kitchen.
Okay.
You can cook with ingredients you've never used before, like watermelon radishes and farro and purple potatoes, all right?
Ooh, is that like Purple Rain, but they're potatoes?
Sure is. Prince approved.
Okay.
And recipes are only between 500 to 700 calories per portion. They're delicious, and they're good for you. Get your first two meals for free at blueapron.com/GilmoreGuys. That's blueapron.com/GILMOREGUYS, all right? It's Blue Apron. It's a better way to cook.
A better way to cook.
That's right.
I'm gonna do it.
You should.
Mm.
On to the show.
Ooh, I was flat
off key.
So did I. Ooh, what a great way to start. Welcome to Gilmore Gabs. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore Gabs. We're usually
that
the Gilmore
work
guys.
If both of our names were Gabby.
Yeah, like...
Let's change our names.
Like Gabourey Sidibe.
Yeah.
Or Gabby Hoffman.
Or any Gabriella.
Transparent, yes. Or Gabrielle, that's right. This is Gilmore Gabs, where we talk to people involved in the writing, creating, making, producing, acting, singing, dancing of a little show we call Gilmore Girls. And guys, we've had some of the writers on. They've been... Okay. I'm just kidding. We've had some of the actors on, some... We've had Scott Patterson, he came on and started a firestorm. We've had Liza Wild on, we played It's Been a While on a very dumb on-the-nose pun for her. But never before have we had, I guess besides Sean Gunn, but never before have we had a townie?
That's true.
A townie, you say? So we gotta introduce her right now.
La la, la la, special guest.
Well, you may know her from such work as Good Night and Good Luck, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, That's So Raven, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Strangers with Candy, Bunheads, Parenthood, but you may know her as Gypsy from Gilmore Girls. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Rose Abdul!
Thank you.
Yay.
How are you, Rose?
It's so nice to be here.
How's it going?
Gilmore, guys, it's been months in the making.
I know. We tried to schedule a few things, and we went out of town, and then we were flaky.
Happens in the time it's supposed to happen,
That's
I
true.
Believe.
Exactly. Yes. That's what this podcast is all about. It happened.
Fate.
Yeah, it's about fate and destiny. Things written in the stars. Rose, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For
it's
joining
a pleasure
us
to
today.
Be here. I want to tell your listeners, they probably already know this because they're big fans, but this is a very cushy Rory and Lorelai couch that we're sitting in.
Right.
Lovely throw, and all we need is all the food they used to eat.
I know. It's food
I'm glad
eating.
You don't have it, believe
I feel
me.
Like that might work for one of our episodes, though. Is
just
like
eating,
just the pig yeah. out episode or like a marathon episode.
I feel like every time we have eaten anything on air, people have noted it
yeah,
and
yeah.
mentioned it to us.
It's
though.
Probably not the greatest idea.
But if we make it a theme,
I think they'd be like,
would.
I can tell you're eating, but it doesn't really add anything for me.
Just hearing a bunch of chewing.
But it adds a lot for us. Well, Rose, this is such an honor and thrill for us to be able to talk to you from Gyp to Gypsy from Stars
Gypsy.
Hollow. And so one of the things we try to accomplish in doing this show and talking to the people involved in it is to really not only paint the picture of what Gilmore Girls was like in the show and the characters on it and discuss all that, but then get into what the people are like who worked on the show and kind of where Gilmore Girls fits into their own personal narrative.
I like it.
Because for all these people, Gilmore Girls is a part of their lives. It's not their whole life, you know, obviously, especially for you, who I ran out of browser memory looking at your IMDb credits because it's so freaking long.
Thank you.
And there's so much stuff you've done. And there's so much we want to talk to you about, starting with where you came up and where you grew up. And
I love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So where was that? Where'd you come from?
Chicago. Yes. And I remember reading in some article that Lauren Graham lived in Chicago. I didn't meet her there, but she always seemed so familiar to me that I thought, did I meet her there? Because I think she actually worked at a restaurant that I used to live really close to.
Oh, interesting.
It's called Ann Sather's. Mm-hmm. They have the best cinnamon rolls, like legendarily good cinnamon rolls.
Is it still up?
Yes, I believe there's still an Ann Sather's. The original one was made out of a funeral home.
Oh.
On Belmont and Clark. And I lived near that one. And then I lived on the north side in Andersonville near mm-hmm. the other Ann Sather's. And mm-hmm. Chicago people will totally know what I'm talking about. And that's where I met Mara Casey, who's the casting person.
Of course. We love Mara.
Mara
yes.
and Jamie Rudolfsky. But I met Mara in Chicago. And I remember when I first, I was coming up in Chicago. I did shows at Second City.
Mm-hmm.
So my first touring company was Chris Farley, Ian Gomez, who you probably know from
Cougartown.
That's right. And Steve Colbert.
Yes.
Was in my original company. Paul Dinello, who now writes with Steve Colbert.
Right.
And they did Exit 57 and Strangers with
Strangers
Candy.
With Candy, mm-hmm. which you were on. That's
yes.
one of my favorite.
Oh, thanks. And I worked
Don't
with
a
all
stop,
of,
the stop sign.
That's right. We combined because of budget cutbacks. The driver's right. ed teacher and Spanish teacher were one person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met all those guys. So I used to tour around the country with Second City with that group of people.
Were you always interested in comedy growing up?
Was I that guess like I a- was. I mean, my mother told me recently I was the person who at a dinner party, she would have these legendary dinner parties, and mm-hmm. I would dress up as a gypsy. But a gypsy,
like literally
beads
a gypsy.
And
wow.
yeah, headscarf and earrings.
So this role was long in the
Isn't
making.
Isn't that weird? And then I would take the guests out of the living room when, like, I beckoned to them. Like,
yeah.
Like, these are adult, and I was like maybe 7 or 8 years old, so that I could read their fortunes in the corner yeah. of my room because I had a little table with a long tablecloth.
Where did
and
that
I would,
come from?
I
did
don't
you see it on
know.
TV?
I just
or
loved
it?
Fortune tellers. Like, and I've played a fortune teller 3 different times on, mm-hmm. on different shows.
Oh, wow.
But when I saw the name Gypsy, so I guess, yes, I've been interested in comedy since I was a little. I mean, I guess I wasn't trying to be funny, but the adults thought it was like this little kid reading our fortunes.
Dressing
they
us
thought
as
it
a
was
gypsy
funny.
At
yeah.
dinner party.
I would dress
so
up
great.
And I would imitate relatives. So in that way, yes, I guess I loved comedy. Then I remember I went to Michigan State. I thought I was going to be a foreign correspondent. Mostly because...
Oh, like a Christiane Amanpour.
Correct. I wanted to be a Christiane Amanpour. I wanted the trench coat and the microphone.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be standing in front of important buildings. And then I got to Michigan State and I was like, oh, you need so much math for that. Like, why do you need so
you
much
need
math for telecommunications degree?
Really?
What's up with that? So all the lines were very short to register for theater classes. So
yeah.
I just kept doing that.
At Michigan
So I always
State.
Say that my acting career was because I didn't like waiting in line.
Or math.
I had lunch to get to, guys. So
That's
I
fine.
Really was like, then I met a guy who said, you should go to Chicago because Second City needs women. There, you know, there's a lot of men that go into that improv.
Wait, you're saying the comedy scene at the time was too many men?
At the time, there was so many men.
That's strange.
Even more, like so many men. I mean, a Second City company is 6 men and 2 women.
Mm-hmm.
Or wait, maybe it's like 4 men and 2 women. But anyway, there were more. So I went there, and that's when I just really got interested in it. And then I was encouraged by people like Mara and people in Chicago to do to come to LA.
I didn't realize how far you and Mara went back.
Yeah, so I think she saw me at Second City, actually, and was always doing plays, and we knew a lot of the same theater people.
Who did you study under at Second City?
At Second City, I worked with Don DiPolo, Martin DeMott, Jeff Michalski, really great improv teachers, Ron mm-hmm. West, really, really great teachers, and you take 5 levels, classes, mm-hmm. and when we graduated, I got hired to tour, and touring the country was like... It was incredible because you'd go to these college campuses that were just so – they were the best audiences. They were just so eager for us to do our thing.
And especially at that time when comedy wasn't so saturated, it must have been like, wow, there's a comedy show.
Really incredible. Yeah, this is the late 80s. And you'd do shows in like the ski tour. So mm-hmm. you were in little towns like Crested Butte, Colorado, and places that I would probably never visit. You know, Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Yeah.
And we'd do a comedy show in Billings, Montana. And I just remember thinking like, this is the coolest way to see – America.
Absolutely.
Is in a van with getting paid, really funny
comedy.
People. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Do you remember like one of your favorite sketches to do while doing
Yes, I did a sketch called British, and it was like, I'm Susan Simpson from Southampton, and it went very quickly, and I remember we used to get an applause ovation within the piece, and I did, it was a two-person scene I did with Steve Colbert. I loved it. I loved him. Mm-hmm. I still love him. I don't see him now, but I loved working with him. He's an incredible
Right. I was listening person. To, he was, because he had a podcast leading up to his
yes.
his late show.
Yeah.
And you got a shout out on that.
It was
he
so
was
nice.
Talking
yeah.
about like the touring company
yes.
then. And what a, you know, what an interesting time. And I guess you just never, you just know you're working with quality people at the time, people like Chris Farley and Colbert.
It's so funny.
Was Carell around at that time?
Yes, yes. Or, I did a show with him also. Yeah. We did a review called Northwest by North Wells. And we used to do a scene where I would play his mother and he would sit in the back of the car. Ron West and I were in the front seat as the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the kid in the back going, are we there yet? And eating cookies. And it was so much fun. He's an incredible singer. I always say this about Colbert and Carell. They have the most beautiful singing voices.
Yeah, they have great singing.
They should sing more and play. They're very, Carell played the trumpet, the trombone or the trumpet, some brass instrument.
That's hilarious.
He's very, very talented, yeah. Yeah, I always liked those guys. There wasn't anybody from that time where I go, hope I never see them again.
Right.
I mean, there was like, it's a cool family.
Yeah, I wonder how that compares because, you know, the two of us, Demi and I, and then so many of our guests are so integrated in the UCB scene,
yes.
which came out of that, obviously,
yes.
because UCB was an offshoot.
I remember those guys. They worked, when I knew, like, Matt Besser and the other guys that developed UCB, mm-hmm. they were, like, the cool Annoyance Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, and then the offshoot of Annoyance Theater was UCB, but they were kind of like, we called them our groovy cousins. Like, they always had, like, the groovier rooftop parties. And
so they were kind of the hippies even
they
then.
Were. They were hippies, and they were the cool UCB people were kind of like, they just always had something cool going on in their theater space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fun. And just, yeah, that must have been an amazing thing to go through. Okay, so you did the comedy stuff.
Yes.
And then when was the transition, like, so that happens to so many people coming out of Second City.
Yeah.
The transition from doing the touring stuff and the stage stuff into actual acting and getting paid
well,
and doing TV.
I was doing Second City, and I left to do a play called Lost in Yonkers that mm-hmm. was a Neil Simon play, and the Neil Simon producers from Broadway had to come and okay the cast, and I was like, this is living. I'm living in Chicago. It's fall. I'm doing a play. And then an audition came up to do, it was called Johnny Bago, and it was a mafia wife turned parole officer chasing her husband around the country mm-hmm. in a Winnebago, hence the name Johnny Bago. And I played Beverly Florio, who was a parole officer. And I just made a tape. It was a VHS tape in mm-hmm. the back room of my agent's office thinking, this is never going to go anywhere. And I got cast for an 8-episode CBS series off of a tape.
Wow.
Like they flew me to LA and they're like, do you know how to drive? Because Bob Zemeckis is directing this. He just directed Used Cars with Kurt Russell and he does not like New York actors that don't know how to drive because he had just finished a movie with like 4 actors who said they could drive that couldn't. So you have to know
Kurt
how to
drive.
And I was like, well, I mean, Kurt Russell probably could, but he had worked with a bunch of people that couldn't.
Sure.
So he's like, do you drive? And I went, yeah, of course I drive. I did not have a driver's license and I was 30 years old, 29. And I went, I just got cast as a lead in a CBS series. that I have to play a parole officer and drive a canine like a cop car. And I did not know how to drive.
Wow.
So I learned in 3-hour increments when you're supposed to be taking like half hour chunks.
Yeah.
I hired the guy and I go, you have to teach me how to drive in 4 days. And I'm not even kidding. And I got cast and I had to live out here. So I just remember staying at that Sheraton by Universal City mm-hmm. and driving this white Mazda really slow down
oh
a hill
my
with
gosh.
a tram of tourists.
Watching.
Following.
Yeah.
Like they were all in the tram going, who's driving so slow? Well, who's up there? I'm driving really slow. And I had to drive to Beverly Hills. And I drove back from Beverly Hills and I was like, it's so difficult to drive. And I realized I had never put my headlights on.
Oh.
So it was like horrible. So I was terrified of driving. I finally came back here. So I came back and forth from 93 to like 2001.
Okay.
Back and forth, back and forth.
Between New York and LA?
Between Chicago and LA. So when I finally got here in 2001, I got here like November 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And November 30th was the audition for Gypsy.
For
Gilmore Girls.
What do you remember about the audition?
I remember auditioning originally. It was a different casting director
mm-hmm.
way back, and I auditioned for Suki.
Oh, you uh-huh. did? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was Mossberg Anthony, where the casting directors, and I remember going, and I sculpted miniature food out of clay.
Just for fun.
Just what I wish I could be eating. I sculpted out of clay. And I remember taking the food to tell them, like, I don't really cook, but I make small food. Like, what? They were not going to care about that, but I just thought that was that would make them remember me. And I auditioned for Suki, and I remember them saying she's very accident prone. I don't remember what the audition was like, but I remember thinking, leaving there going, I did not get that. And then the casting people changed, and here it was time for this character named Gypsy. And I just remember going in and seeing all these women, kind of tough looking. I remember Margaret Smith was there. That's the only, because I was a fan of her comedy. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking, why does it say, it was the original one with Dean. She's looking at Dean's car
right.
and Richard. And she's got the windshield wipers. Mm-hmm. And out of nowhere, she goes, I miss my home. I miss my home. And I thought, why would she say I miss my home? She didn't say I miss being at home. It seemed to me that she came from a village.
Gypsy thing.
Yeah, so I decided, you know what, I looked around the room and I thought, these are a lot of really funny people here, but no one's going to give her an accent.
Yeah.
So I thought, let me just do an accent of indeterminate origin. I'll be from some country like, we don't know where, really.
Right, well, that's what we've talked about on the show is, where's Gypsy from?
Who really knows?
Yeah.
And I thought, maybe the Hughes brothers, because, you know, maybe they left the gas station. My backstory was they went to Florida, and Gypsy bought the station from them. And,
yeah, I was wondering, like, what you thought the backstory
She landed here. She has a big background. Like, my own niece is Hungarian, Romanian, Dominican, and Lebanese.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm Dominican and Lebanese, but mm-hmm. I thought she's something like that.
Okay.
You know, she's from everywhere.
Yeah.
And in the middle of that audition, I remember Amy Sherman Palladino saying, faster. And I did it as fast.
Yeah.
The greatest. I did it as fast. The greatest idea
sure.
I think she has is to make everybody talk faster because, in my opinion, comedy is always funnier faster.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it fast and with an accent. And then that's what I remember about the audition is then it was my birthday. It was November 28th. And I remember they called me the next day to say, you've been cast in Gilmore Girls. I thought it was one, I'm going to be an auto mechanic on the Gilmore Girls. This is great. And then it turned into, I think, 25 of them, maybe?
Yeah, it was like around 23 or 25.
It was great.
One question I had about the accent, and I want to run it by you, because mm-hmm. we got an email from a listener named Emily Maloki. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. But she said, Rose was my mom's best friend
in high school. Yes, that's Linda Dunlop's daughter.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she says, the first time my mom saw a clip of Rosie, she calls you on Gilmore Girls, she started cracking up because the accent she uses is the same she would use when she would imitate her mother.
Very close. It's very close. It's a little tiny bit different. I did my mother on Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Gypsy's like the tough version of my mother.
Okay.
Yeah.
The more hardened version.
Yeah. She's more, rough and tumble.
What was your mother's background?
My mother was born in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Yeah, so she came here in 1960. My parents met, fell in love, and got married in 3 days.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? My father was traveling. He was in Florida, and everyone said, you got to go see this country, Dominican Republic. It's beautiful. And she goes, and you know, I was there, and his brother was a Monsignor, so he blessed the Dominican baseball team. And there was a dinner party, and I go, and everybody is saying to me, put on a dress. You have to meet this American businessman, and I like him. And I fix him a plate from the buffet, and he fell in love with me.
Wow.
I mean, that's like my mother's story.
Three days.
And my dad goes, I met her. I thought this is a nice girl. Met a lot of girls I could live with. I never met one I couldn't live without till I met her. It's like, she barely knew English. I never dreamed she'd master the language the way she did. Like, you know, so they were like that Grace Kelly, Prince Rainier. Like, they were just in love. They mm-hmm. barely knew each other. And 40 really, really happy years until they died. Like, really. Wow. I had the kind of parents that were always holding hands and kissing. And, like, they didn't – I mean, it was just one of those – so I believe in that sort of first love, the stars align, and – people right. are just supposed to be together. They're supposed to be together.
Fate,
no matter
what
where
this podcast
exactly,
is all about.
Exactly. Yeah.
Man, that's what a different time. Yeah. I could not imagine.
No.
Even 3 weeks.
But you know, when I was dating, it affects your dating life when you're the product of people who've been married that met in three days. And when I would date people, I would think after 3 dates, I don't like them enough to marry them. So it kept me like, keep it moving, everybody.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? You don't get stuck in anything because you're kind of like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
And now the guy, okay. So I came here November 8th. I got Gilmore Girls November 30th. And my friends gave me a birthday cake. And I had just been cast in the Gilmore Girls. And you guys, every year I would make a wish for a job, a cool acting job. On my birthday, I would blow out the candles and go, I'd like. But I felt like, well, that's selfish. I just got Gypsy.
Yeah.
So I wished for love. As soon as I blew out the candles, I was like, oh, why did I waste a wish on love? How dumb.
I need work. Yeah.
The very next day, I went to a party at the fake gallery mm-hmm. on Melrose. We used to be an art gallery. It was December 1st, 1201.
Mm-hmm.
I met John, my now husband. Within 3 days, I thought, he's someone I could marry. We've been together this year 14 years. We looked at 117 houses. We live at 1201.
Woo!
Isn't that crazy? And we met on December 1st, 2001.
Wow.
The year I got Gilmore Girls. And
there's
he said to me that night,
yeah.
What do you do? What do you do? And I said, I'm an actor. And he goes, well, what have you been doing? And I go, well, I'm going to shoot my first Gilmore Girls. I'm going to be this character called Gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to me, work my name in, would you? I was like, okay.
Work
and then after,
name.
I was like, why did I say I'd work his name in? How am I going to work?
So, I'll tell you, Amy, I want to do a little bit of improv.
Well, I got to tell you, in that scene where I pull the windshield wipers off, Mara sent me the dailies. That's like so great to know someone on the inside because she goes, you were really funny. It turned out great.
Yeah.
And I say in a couple different takes, Mara. Because his last name's Matta.
Uh-huh.
So the director, now I'm forgetting who directed that episode, Richard in Stars Hollow, I think.
It was probably Jamie Bebe.
It might have been Jamie. Yeah. I think it was a guy. And they said, could you do one where you're not saying whatever that word you're saying? Mm. Like, they were like thinking it's some gypsy word. And it was just me
like
trying
a
to
slur
put.
Or something.
Yeah, it was me trying to put John's name in because he asked me to. Like, how crazy.
Wow.
So I associate the beginning of Gilmore Girls with like the first romance of my now husband of. I've been with him 14 years.
14 years.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if we ever hear it on the show.
No.
But isn't Gypsy's last name Matta?
Is it?
I think it might say the IMDb. I might be getting that
maybe
wrong.
Maybe that's me.
That'd be hilarious.
They knew that was my married, you know, that's my married name. I don't know. But all I know is I was trying to like fit his name in and I thought, what am I doing? This is like. It's like a big important job. Why am I trying to
like no, I'll do you a solid on my first big network game.
But I just love that he asked that. And then he said, hey, my sister's a huge fan of that show. Congratulations.
We're crediting
into it too. Yeah, Kathy Matta. Yeah. So it was really just a great fun time. And I just remember getting to go to work. I was just so delighted when they would call because they would come few and far between. Like sometimes I would do an episode, then a couple would go by and then they'd call me again.
So there was no deal in place. Like you're going to do X amount of episodes per season.
I never would know.
It was always
just
week to week. Yeah.
And I remember they would always have these brightly colored script covers. So I had saved them all.
Mm-hmm.
And I met these really nice girls through Facebook that are huge Gilmore fans, and mm-hmm. I sent them all the scripts.
Oh.
And there happened to be, I think, 18 girls in the group, and they meet once a year in different locations. They're the greatest. And I sent them all my scripts so they could each have one. And it turned out I had just enough for all of them, I think.
Oh, that's
so
sweet.
Yeah, it was great. And, of course, I think I saved, like, one or two for myself. Sure. But I just remember doing town meetings. The thing that I remember the most about filming Gilmore Girls is if it was supposed to be hot.
Yeah.
In Stars Hollow, like June, like Rory's graduation,
right.
It was freezing cold in mm-hmm. Warner Brothers. If it was supposed to be freezing cold, like the knitting episode, it was burning hot.
Yeah.
It was always the opposite.
Always the opposite.
Exact opposite, yeah, the weather. So we would have to pretend Stars Hollow was whatever weather it was.
Yeah. When you prepare for something like that, and you talk about like in the audition, like, oh, I'll do this sort of voice. I don't know if that line actually made it into the final thing. Like,
yes,
I miss my home.
Yes, she's holding the windshield wipers. I miss my home out of nowhere.
I think she actually does say that.
I can't look at this car anymore. I miss my home. She just says it out of nowhere.
Okay, so, yeah. So it does.
So I meant I miss my home, as in I miss my village back, not here where this didn't happen, I guess. I don't know. But I remember thinking, like, I'm going to wear a denim shirt. And then I was living with Susie Nakamura at the time, who's Dr. Ken. Yeah, she's done a zillion things.
She was on West Wing for a long time.
Correct. Yeah. And she's my friend from way back, since we're like in our 20s. And she loaned me, I said, Susie, I need like a watch that looks like an auto mechanic would wear. Mm-hmm. And she had a watch for me. And so I put that on. I had a denim shirt and I had this ring from my friend Margaret Sullivan that's an auto clamp.
Oh, wow.
And that's a car part. So I wore that.
Oh, and you're still wearing it right now?
Still wearing it, yeah. I don't wear it every, I haven't worn it since. Right. But I wore it every gypsy.
For today.
Every gypsy appearance, she wore this ring.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And that was something that you brought. That.
Yes. I just thought she's an auto mechanic, but she's also just a little. John always thought, my husband said I should have a party dress under my coveralls.
Just take it
but
off.
Gypsy, she never really dressed up. You know, she always would wear, like, the costume designer's great, Brenda Maven, and she gave me her Doc Martin boots. I always wore those every time. And I just remember the dressiest gypsy got to get was the
dance marathon?
I think it was the shower for Who's Emily? You know, like when Lorelai gave the commitment ceremony shower. Yeah, I got to wear a top with like a couple sparkles on it or something.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I don't know why that's just coming to my mind right now. I'm just remembering everything I loved about that show.
I mean, yeah, but like, what is your relationship to the show now? Because you've done so much stuff and you've recurred on so many other shows too.
Yes.
Like, where does Gilmore Girls kind of exist?
It was so fun to do like Bunheads and have a scene with Liza.
Right.
You know, and thinking like, she's Paris, like Gypsy and Paris paths never crossed. Mm-hmm. And I had hoped that in Parenthood I could see Lauren at least like...
Yeah,
but we never
did that
got
ever
to,
happen?
No,
that
only never. In the backstage, you know, like in
right,
the, on the set. But we never got to be on camera together. But I thought that would have been funny for the fans if Gwen Chambers suddenly was with
just all the universes
know,
colliding.
Yeah,
I know. There's a lot of crossover.
Yeah,
we'll talk about Bunheads. How fun was that?
Oh my gosh,
too?
Bunheads was great, and Bunheads blew my mind because, in some ways, there was a little similarity in that it was supposed to be a little town, Paradise Cove, and the dance studio was also the place where we had a town meeting. So I walk in to shoot the town meeting, and I played Sam, the town busybody. And I started to take a seat in the front row of the town meeting, and Amy said, no, you're up here. And I just remember feeling like, wait, I'm at the head table? Oh, that's where Miss Patty sits. That's where Taylor sits.
Like, felt like those
so
old
I
rhythms.
Felt like passing of the torch. Like I felt like, oh my gosh, I'm the Miss Patty now.
Yeah.
You know, and I was conducting the town meeting. That was cool. And by the way, shout out to Liz Torres, who I absolutely loved. Like that was the fun. The most fun for me was Babette, Sally Struthers, and Miss Patty, Liz Torres, were the people that when I was growing up, I was obsessed with All in the Family. And I remember when Liz Torres was like played the upstairs neighbor on All in the Family. Mm-hmm. And of course, Sally was Gloria. And I loved them. So we used to have a lot of fun because I would ask them questions about their time, you know, when they were coming up as character actresses in Hollywood. And then, you guys, those town meetings took so long to shoot.
That was the longest probably out of any of the like group scenes or anything.
So many
cameras.
Because
of all the setups. And
I will tell you this. And I think Liz is so hilarious and irreverent. And she'd be like, look at this, more coverage than 9/11. Because they would put a camera in every corner, and it was like so much footage. They're getting out of this. I just remember, like, I got to work with Kenny Ortega, who did High School Musical, just fantastic director. And he was so much fun. And then Sally, at one point, we were there so many hours, we got so punchy. She picked him up on her shoulders and spun him around.
Kenny?
Like, what's her name? Sally Struthers picked up Kenny. Like, picked him up like a fireman's carry, but spun him around. She goes, watch this, Rose. Gosh. And she would just get up. So we would just play games during takes, like, you know, let's guess what's in Sally's purse. That was the game I invented. Because the purse that she would have on her lap was her purse. Her real purse.
Yeah.
And she would work on crossword puzzles. So in the in-between, when they were doing camera setup, she would go, what's a four-letter word for, like, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden she says to me, Rose. I turn around. Do you want to see my dog's driver's license? I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I? Of course I do. This is Bob. She had a dog named Bob who had an actual California driver's license. She is the funniest, I just love her.
Right.
I can't say enough about those two ladies. I love them. And they would keep us, they just kept you so entertained. Yes. And kept the energy up because, you know, they were so experienced because I was like, I'm going to fall asleep. Like, this is I hadn't experienced anything like that before. The television series I'd worked on was very fast moving. But I didn't realize how much coverage you need when you do a scene like a town meeting because you need the crowd reactions and the and this and the turnaround and the close up and the master and da-da-da-da-da. So
it felt, it sounds like Liz and Sally were kind of the warm-up comics.
They were a riot. I just remember laughing all the time. And then we'd say, well, what's in Sally's purse? So I would try and guess. She had these baby hands, like even before that sketch on SNL.
Yeah.
Sally had baby, the little hands
the
on
the little
sticks.
Hands that like Kristen Wiig.
She had those before anybody had those. She's hilarious. I love her.
Oh, man. A couple of crack-ups.
Yeah, really fun. And Taylor. Why am I blanking on his name?
Michael Winters.
Yeah, Michael. Really fun. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun. And then Jackson was so fun. And he, I remember loving the episode he directed.
Right.
He did the museum.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. Stars
the
Hollow
diorama,
Museum.
Love
yes,
and
yes,
diorama.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we got to look through stuff. The boxes of stuff. I remember that.
Was it easier to take direction from someone who was an actor on the show for a long time?
Like, maybe not easier, but it was a lot of fun. I was so impressed with him for directing. I mean, if you, I just don't think I could ever direct an episode of, there's so many people and moving parts to keep
right.
track of.
That's not an ambition you have at
no,
all.
No, I don't think it is. No.
Right.
Not something of that scale.
Yeah. Something, yeah, where you have a lot of people answering to you and it seems.
Remember the one, I just remember working with him on the one where the town smelled like eggs.
Yeah.
Didn't the town then smell like pickles at one point? There were some smells.
If we definitely smell like eggs. I don't know if we've gone
there
to
was pickles.
One yet.
Figure out which episode that some fan will know that.
That might be season 7.
There was definitely a pickle smell somewhere that I thought they're just retooling.
Was it near the end of the run?
I think it was.
Because neither of us have seen season 7.
You know, season 7, I think used to borrow a little bit. From the earlier,
other,
yeah.
Well, that's kind of because I don't know.
They were just retooling
kind of
stuff.
Retooling
now,
the
stuff. Now, as diehard fans, are you boycotting 7 because you're like, forget it, the original
no,
people left, or you are going to?
We
okay.
will watch
You'll
it.
See me. I believe I'm in 7.
Yeah.
I think I am. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure you are.
But how was production different on season 7?
It felt like, who's flying the plane? A little bit. I mean, it just felt like, where are the people?
Yeah.
The people are gone that made this whole thing.
Yeah.
It was still fun, I think, but different.
When you saw like what Gypsy had to say in particular script, was it like, this is a little off? Or did it still feel...
It still felt Gypsy-ish, but I just remember feeling like when you're in school and you're like, are the teachers not here or something? Are we all...
Right.
Are the inmates running the asylum?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a new stepdad.
I think
in
that's
town.
How it felt. I'm not sure. I've blocked that out. But I just remember right. the early years were a ball.
The early years in particular.
Yeah.
Did it become... And I wonder, as someone who, like, you were on the show from season 2 on until the end... Did it become season 7 aside an easier show or a more difficult show to put together every week?
You know? I'm not sure because I wasn't there every week, but I remember at one point I was like, it was real. I complimented Lauren on something she did, and she goes, "You're the only one still watching it." That's in the cast. Like, I think she was joking,
yeah.
but she meant like the cast wasn't like as tight.
Invested.
I don't think so. Yeah. I watched all of them. No, I shouldn't say that. I missed the beginning. I really don't know the beginning of Gilmore Girls. I need to go back and
it's
really,
pretty good. You should watch it.
I know. Everyone says that.
And, yeah, that's an interesting thing, too, because I think one thing I really appreciate, even in like telling all these stories and talking and having fun with everything, it's just like the candor. That's an interesting
word. I'm going to say candor from now
candor.
On. I prefer that.
The candor.
Candor.
Of what it takes to make a show, I think... We've discussed a little bit before, but there seems to be, especially now with the advent of kind of the premium people put on authenticity and transparency in like what goes into making a show. Everyone's on Twitter talking about
right.
it and live tweeting it and audio commentaries and podcasts about the show that the creators make. I feel like there's more of an expectation that everything wasn't a particular way, that things are tough sometimes.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And I think this show was made in a time where that wasn't the case, where maybe there was sort of like still this mystical quality of like, you know, it's on TV and they all love each other and they hang out every Friday night with each other, which is not, you know, it's maybe that's the case on some TV shows, but it's hardly the case for most working, you know,
that's
productions.
Funny. They worked long, long, long hours. But I remember thinking that people like they were pals, like people were pals.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Yeah. I mean, I think that I always would see. Alexis and Keiko chatting and
hanging out.
Yeah, like they were pals. They always seemed, everyone seemed very friendly to each other to me. But it's funny because the fans said there was fan fiction that continued after Gilmore went off the air. And that's how
sure.
I met some of these people. And they were like, and you end up, I think they had Gypsy like ending up with Andrew.
And that sounds like, right. I'd see
and
it.
I was like, Gypsy doesn't like him. No offense to the real guy that played Andrew, but I was like, no. Gypsy didn't...
Who would you cast with Gypsy as her love interest?
You know, Gypsy loved Lorelai.
Like, you think?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, my backstory was just came to me one day when Gypsy was really mad about he wouldn't know a pepperoni from a, what was it? Piston from a pepperoni. You know the town had to wear blue ribbons and pink ribbons
when Lorelai
and Luke split up. So I was so on Lorelai's side and so mad at Luke that I thought, I think Gypsy has a little crush on Lorelai.
Yeah.
So Gypsy had a crush on Lorelai. So when she got to go to her house for the Emily party, she was just so excited to be in Lorelai's house.
And be a part of her life.
She was so excited to be there. She was like, who's Emily? Like, I don't even care why I'm here. I'm just like, I'm finally out of the gas station and I'm in, not in the town meeting. I'm getting across the porch and into the house. Like, she just had a crush on her. So I always played it like Lorelai was just the greatest thing ever.
That's totally going to inform our watching of it now.
I feel like a lot of the town believes that Lorelai is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. But Gypsy had like a crush. Like Gypsy, they referred to some gift they brought her from their trip. They gave me placemats.
Right.
I used to love when I'd watch and I wasn't in it, but they would talk about me. Like, they said that I loved Rolos. And I would say to Amy Sherman, do you have a camera in my house? Because she would say things that I had just, I'm obsessed with Rolo candies. And like,
oh, that's hilarious.
Little things would happen that she would say Gypsy loved that I go, how does she know that about me?
Really?
Wow. Yeah, weird. It happened in Bunheads too, where I would just talk about tap dancing and the very next week she'd make me tap dance. It was weird. Like, she's like weirdly psychic in my opinion. She's brilliant. And Lorelai, they said they brought me placemats. And I was like, I would love placemats from the Vatican or wherever they were. They like gave me a gift, gave Gypsy a gift. And I just remember thinking like, Gypsy was so happy that Lorelai remembered her on her trip.
Oh, totally. right at the beginning
of
season four.
She loved her.
Man. Yeah, but I think Demi does hit on an interesting point. Like, the town seems obsessed over Lorelai and Rory. Like, they are definitely the center of all the activity.
And care about them and care whether Gypsy cared very much whether Rory liked school.
Yeah.
And was so proud of her for going to school. And, there was an episode that I had to drive an old pickup truck. And I remember waved to Rory when she was leaving for school. Then it ended up getting cut. And that was the longest it ever took me to shoot anything was I just had to keep driving around this town circle.
Because you were driving.
Probably because I was driving. Jeez. And then it didn't make it into the final thing.
That's unusual, though, that there'd be deleted scenes from the show,
I know.
Right? Because it's pretty...
Very unusual, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only one that I think I would have 26 to my credit had that been shown.
Right.
I think.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, and it's funny, you even talking about, like, how Gypsy might have felt about Lorelai, because sometimes one of the things we talk about a little bit on the show is the idea of like sexual identity in terms of like the characters, because sometimes, and especially in retrospect, people bring their own perspective and lay that on like, oh, is Taylor gay? Is Michelle actually, even though Michelle talks about liking women and going on dates with them. And so it's interesting to think that, you know, don't assume anything. And I think even Amy said in an interview recently, like, there's a few characters in Stars Hollow that I believe are gay.
Oh, interesting.
But it doesn't matter who they are, you know. So it's just that, so maybe Gypsy's one of them.
Yeah, I think Gypsy, maybe, I don't know if she ever, you know, had a girlfriend or anything, but she had stars in her eyes for Lorelai. And that's what made it fun for me in town meetings. I would look at her like, everything you do is the coolest. Plus, I love Lauren, and I think she's great. So it's easy to do.
Master.
Yeah.
So, well, let's talk. Speaking of Lauren, let's talk about parenthood, because I think this is such an interesting and really unique and beautiful story of your role on that show. You played Gwen Chambers on Lauren Graham's other big show, Parenthood, who was a cancer patient.
Yes.
And talk about how that came about and the kind of crazy parallel there with your own life.
Yes. Let's see, it was February of 2011. I was diagnosed with appendix cancer, and I went through treatment, and I finished my chemotherapy on August 1st, 2011. And my audition for Parenthood was August 1st, 2012. So I get the sides, and I see that this – she's talking about what it's like to have cancer and how at first everyone's going to call you and then people kind of drop off and whatever. The Gwen Chambers monologue was really spoke to me. So I thought, should I tell the casting people? And it just came out in the middle of the audition. There was no one else there. And I just remember going in. I had a scarf on my head. I didn't lose my hair during my chemo treatment. I had the kind of chemo that your hair gets thin, but it remains. And I said that to the lady, to the casting office, and they cast me in it. And I just thought, you know, it was easy in some ways to do it because I had been so close to the experience, and very difficult in other ways because now I was on this journey. I thought it was going to be one episode, mm-hmm. and I ended up recurring. I became kind of close with Monica Potter. Monica Potter just texted me last night.
Really?
Yeah. And she was at a party with another very good friend of mine, really talented actress, Megan Holder. And
I've heard nothing but the most lovely
She's the most
about
lovely
her.
Person. And after that one episode we shot, she said, I think Gwen should be Christina's chemo buddy. Mm. And I think that was maybe their plan. I wasn't sure. But it became difficult because I had gone through chemo. So I would see a nurse. They had real nurses mm-hmm. in Parenthood. And then I would see people and go, was that my nurse from real life chemo or fake TV chemo?
Oh, the memories were kind of blending together.
It was so close. And I wanted to be like, of course I can separate television from real life. But it was so weird that I remember going, you guys, you know when you grocery shop, you have a cart, if you're in the parking lot, there's that mysterious line that you can't push the cart across.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like that weird. And I remember going to this abandoned hospital in Beverly Hills to shoot the Gwen Chambers chemo scenes. And I went in the doorway. I couldn't cross the door. Like it was like almost an invisible force field of like, I do not, like every fiber of my body was going, don't go in that room and sit in that chair. Now you have to sit in these chairs. And there's just something about when you've gone through it, and to do it on TV was both cathartic and horrible at the same time.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, it was like Sliding Doors, that movie, that Gwyneth Paltrow mm-hmm. movie, where mm-hmm. you see what your life would have been like. Because TV cancer was worse than real life cancer, which you would think would be the opposite, because in real life, I got better. My character got worse.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you'd see in Parenthood, like a scene where Monica and I are hugging and she's wishing me good luck. In real life, the very next day, I'd have a scan, which is weird.
Yeah.
Like so many of the Gwen Chambers episodes, I was still going to get scanned.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
So then when the scene came where I knew, my husband said to me, you know they're going to kill you off, right? Because you can't get rid of Monica. I mean, her character's right. beloved and she's a series regular and you're the guest star, so... You know you're going to – he said very early on, they're probably going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the scene, and at the same time, it was like the easiest thing I've ever done because you get to work and get to climb in a bed. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But bed the acting. Hardest thing I've ever – it was one of the hardest things I've ever done because you see yourself – that's what would have happened had my life gone that way. Sliding right. doors, you know?
It's like yeah. seeing yes. – it's like almost like a third
– playing out what would yeah. have happened had I not been unbelievably fortunate and just the luck of the stars.
Yeah, there's a dream like quality.
Better to play it out than to experience yeah. it for real.
Yeah, say that again.
Better to play it out than to experience it
so
for real.
So true. Truer words were never spoken. Right. Exactly.
And very dreamlike, the out-of-body experience, yes. especially yeah. watching on TV later. Yes. Must have been so strange.
It was so strange. For days, they had a camera up in the corner, and it was a long shot of me in the bed. Mm-hmm. And when I would sleep at night in real life, I would see myself in the bed.
Whoa.
It was really unusual. Yeah. Very interesting experience. I'm very glad I had it. I did have to go to therapy after.
Well,
and,
yeah.
You know, and the therapist said to me, if you were faced with that again, what would you say? Like if there's a role and you had, and I said, of course I'd do it again. She said, well, there you go. Like a lot of people would have been like, no, I just spent a year going right. through this. I don't want to play a character that's going through. And I was like, sign me up. I know exactly how this should be done.
Exactly.
I mean, I wanted to do it. So I'm very glad.
And you felt like the writers and everyone
incredible.
On that show really handled that in a respectful
it.
Way.
And they yeah. said, I said, someone knows exactly what this is like because the writing was, and I guess it was one of the creators' wives or someone had gone through
okay,
it. Yeah. It's very specifically, yeah.
Is yeah. that one of the only times you've had to die on camera?
Yes.
Like in a role?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? I've never had to do make out with anybody.
Not yet.
Not yet. But I was really thinking the other day, wow, I've always wanted to play an attorney. I've always wanted to be a judge, attorney,
on the grinder.
A nurse,
yes.
a doctor. And I've gotten to do all that. And I thought, I've never like had a love scene or like mm-hmm. a makeup scene. Yes, I got to do a judge. I've always wanted to be a judge. There's something about sitting and I love the little, since I'm a little girl, I like the, I think I had a plastic one.
You love
like
gypsies and gavels.
I did. I guess I did. And the hammer probably came with like a thing to build house, but
right.
I thought of it as a judge gavel, never yeah. a hammer. Just like somebody asked me recently if I always knew I didn't want children. And I like children.
Mm-hmm.
I like other people's children. I like right. to be the aunt to
you
children.
Like to visit and then
But
leave.
When I was yeah. a little girl, all my dolls had jobs. And they worked for me.
Oh, yeah. You were the CEO.
I was I was either the aunt or the dolls, you know, were in my company
yes.
somehow. So I was
amazing.
Thinking, you kind of know who you are when you're little.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to be a lawyer very badly. And I was a lawyer on major crimes, mm-hmm. but I wasn't in a courtroom. I still have never, like, I want to go head to head with, like, Viola Davis on How to Get Away with Murder.
I bet. Well, now you're in Shondaland, right?
I am in Shondaland. I mean,
because you're coming up on Scandal, right?
Yes, yes. And I did Grey's Anatomy. I was a therapist. So I've been a therapist mm-hmm. 3 times. And now I've been a senator.
Yeah.
On Scandal, I play a senator. Yeah. It's really.
Are those scenes coming up? Or?
Those scenes are coming. It's going to be the fourth, fifth, and sixth of the season.
I'm excited.
So, yes, I hope you'll watch because I think it starts October 15th, 22nd, 29th.
Okay.
People will watch.
That's a good plug.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
I feel like Shonda is not so secretly a big Gilmore fan because she's cast so many people from that world.
And, you know, they were shooting Scandal when it started, shoots at the same studio that Bunheads did.
Oh.
So I just remember thinking, like, they were taking over because they – like, we had this trailer space, and then they took it over, and then we had this stage, and then they took it over.
Oh, wow.
They were kind of moving us out.
Yeah.
It was annoying.
And Liza was on both.
Yes.
Trying to broker peace, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
And then Bunheads was canceled.
That's right. And Bunheads, I wished it would have gone on. It was really fun.
It could have. There was a lot. We're going to cover it, actually, after we're done with all 7 seasons of Gilmore.
Oh, I love it.
So we'll be revisiting.
Oh, I'd love to come back and talk about Sam.
Please.
And
that'd be amazing.
Tap dancing on Bunheads. It was really fun.
We'll do a tap dance
One of the
podcast.
Most fun I got to see to be in, it was Amy Sherman's mother. She's a great tap dancer.
Oh.
And she was in this episode where she tapped in the scene.
Oh, Amy Sherman's mother was
Her
on
real
Bunheads?
Life mother. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. She taps beautifully.
I'll have to find out what scene that is.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it'll be evident when
she's a good tap dancer. Really good.
Yeah.
And Amy's a dancer. She was a dancer.
Right. She starts a dancer and then she comes from a showbiz family.
Yes,
right?
She's very. I've been very fortunate because she did a pilot. You guys, I wish the show would have gone called The Damn Thorpes. We shot it in Vancouver, but it was supposed to be, I think, like Kansas or something. It was a girl from New York trying to fit in with this sort of Dallas family, like a Western family. But the pilot didn't go. But I got to be like Mitzi, the owner of the dress shop in town.
Oh,
it was really funny. I wish I could see that pilot. That was a really good.
But
one.
They actually they did shoot it and everything.
Yes, it was between Gilmore ending and Bunhead starting.
Okay.
That one.
And somewhere with Jezebel James in there. Because you were on that as well.
Yes,
right?
I was. I was just going to say, she's been so good to me. And I was.
MVP.
Yes.
Maybe the only one that's been on all 3 shows.
You know, I think I am.
I think so.
I think so.
Because Scott Cohen was on Gilmore and Jezebel.
I've done everything with her.
Wow. You're her Joshua Malina.
Oh, that's funny.
Do you know that?
Yes,
where
I
he's
do.
In all the Sorkin shows.
Yes, that's right. And he's on Scandal.
And he's on Scandal.
Yes.
More connections. Man, I mean. What's it like? Because I'm sure for all of the roles that you've done, there's so much crossover with like the Disney Channel stuff, That's So Raven, and having such a long role on that. And with Gilmore, like when you're in line at Starbucks or wherever the case may be, Coffee Bean or Intelligentsia, I don't want to assume, and someone says, oh, I love you in
It
blank.
Always surprises me because in Michigan, mm-hmm. it's Gilmore Girls.
What are you doing in Michigan?
Well, my family lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So there's a little town, a little part called Easttown. Mm-hmm. And I remember being in a little coffee place. And this girl said, do you know who you look so much like? This character on the show that I absolutely love called the Gilmore Girls. I said, it's me. She said, it's you. Like, what are you doing here? You know, so that it's exciting to go to other places.
Right.
Here, whenever I think the person's going to say Raven, it's Gilmore. And whenever I think they're going to say Gilmore, it's Raven. Very strange.
So it's like a lot of older people saying
in the airport, it's
Raven.
Always Gilmore. And then in stores, like in the mall, it's usually Raven.
Right.
Yeah, almost always. And they say, you're a big part of my childhood. It always makes me so happy. Because I loved television when I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Chris, I said, I can't believe these kids know my work and they say the lines from the show. She said, Rosie, just imagine, you watched back in the day, Green Acres, Petticoat Junction, Beverly Hillbillies. It would be like, what are the minor characters on there? Like Miss Jane Hathaway or Mr. Drucker from
Floyd
the
Barber.
Yeah, it would be like them walking up to you. And then I got excited for my old self. Like, I got excited because I thought, oh, that would thrill me if I would see, like, I don't know, anybody from any one of those shows.
Right.
I would have been excited.
And the relationship I feel like that people have with TV, especially now.
Yes.
Is so much more personal and different. Because think about those shows where it's like, oh, maybe you caught a rerun.
Right.
But you couldn't buy them on DVD.
No, that's right.
Or stream them. And so, like, kind of live with them.
You're so right. I imagine these kids know these episodes backwards and forwards. Mm-hmm. I can't get over that.
Yeah.
And I love when mother-daughters come up and they go, we are Lorelai and Rory. Like, that happens quite a bit, too. Excuse me, are you Gypsy? And then I always get like, how did you know? Like, sometimes I have glasses and a hat and they still know. It's cute.
May they
I like
hear
that
voice.
A lot. Yeah, it's very sweet.
They hear your mother from afar.
Yeah. That's fun.
Oh, man. Well, what I'm curious about is this kind of career, which seems to be kind of what I see. When I think of the Townies, I kind of put you and Liz Torres and Sally Struthers kind of in the same little camp of these veterans. I know, which is funny because they were your heroes too.
Yes.
But like these veterans where they're everywhere and you see them in everything. And they do this and they do this little part and they come in, they come out, they make their mark. They do this whatever episode arc on parenthood. Do you enjoy that and kind of the chameleon-like nature of what you get
I
to do?
I do. I've been thinking for a long time, oh, I just want to land somewhere. I just want to go to the same place to work every day.
Like a series regular.
I'd love to be a series regular. But then I thought lately, maybe I really love getting to go on many, many different shows mm-hmm. and not get locked into one character. I think that ultimately that's my goal is to just be able to be – but I don't care if it's like when I'm – I always say when I'm Doris Roberts' age.
Sure.
One of my favorite character actresses. Yeah. I thought – well, I'm 52 now, and so I could be wait till I'm 70 to end up on something. You know, I don't know if I could keep this up though. This is a gypsy lifestyle when you go in and pack your bags, and you're never anywhere for very long. It's hard to be a guest, always a guest. The cast kind of knows each other. There's a great documentary called That Guy Who Was in That Thing.
Okay,
it's a perfect name for it, right?
Yeah,
it's a lot of men. I think they've never done one with character women. There's another one too. I can't remember the name of it, but they're both about character actors who you see, oh, that guy was in that thing.
Mm-hmm. Judy Greer has a memoir about that.
Yes. Yeah. She's that person that's always sort of, she's mm-hmm. from Detroit as well, Judy Greer. I'm a fan of hers as well. And I feel like it's difficult in many ways. It talks about the way that the cast has their own rhythm and their own, you know, their cliques and you're a guest and it's a different energy. You better hit the ground running.
Right.
You know,
they expect you to kind of be better than them because there's a little more grace for them because their name is on the poster.
They're doing it. And they're another thing, they're used to getting up super early. I will not do anything for a while. And then all of a sudden they're like, your call tomorrow is 5:30 in the morning. And you're like, what? So it's like super early. You're not used to that. You're going someplace you've never been.
Yeah.
And you better hit those lines hard because no one, I just think this whole production would have to wait if I made a mistake.
Right.
You know, if I make a mistake on camera, you know, so the pressure, I like that living on the edge thing. It's fun. It's a very big challenge. And then you get to play so many different people, which is a lot of fun. But I just wonder, where do I want to end up? Like, what kind of character could I love to play for a very long time?
Well, let's cast a show for you right now.
Yeah.
Let's brainstorm.
What
so the
I
Rose
do?
Abdu Project.
What should I do?
I see it.
I gotta
being,
tell you, I'm liking a judge a lot because you get to sit.
She
down.
Was a judge from the wrong side of the
That's
tracks.
Right. That's right. You get to sit. How fun is that? The Grindr, those are the nicest. First of all, they're the nicest people.
Yeah. Oh, we have a lot of people from the show on this show, actually.
Really?
Dominic Dierks and Sean Clements, who are two of the writers from that
just
show.
Just so lovely.
Did Fred Savage tell you he's a big Gilmore fan?
He's the greatest.
Yeah.
He told me, reminded me of something. He said when he was shadowing directors to get in the DGA, he came to the Gilmore Girls. And that's how we first started talking.
Yeah.
And he's delightful. And he then directed me in Two Broke Girls and also in Garfunkel and Oates.
Oh, that's right.
He's been my director 4 times.
Oh, how
and
fun.
And to get to star opposite him has been fantastic. I think he's unbelievably talented. And Rob Lowe is a doll.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do a show called Dr. Vegas. And do you
that's
know he remembered
right.
me? He looked at me and he goes, you were a pediatric surgeon in that Dr. Vegas. He goes, we got canceled the day after your episode shot.
So
hope I wasn't bad luck. But we got to do that. But I just did another Grindr episode this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this job is fantastic.
Yeah.
To sit down is the greatest.
Almost as good as lying down.
Right? You get to sit down and there's judge robe, which is the easiest wardrobe to wear.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And that's not pockets for your candy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, please.
For your Rolos.
For your Rolos.
That's right. And in such an atmosphere where it's like, he's known you for forever. Rob knows you from
it's
Vegas.
Really a lot of fun. And that's a fun set. They're having a lot of fun in there. And I hope it does well because, you know, I think Fox, I mean, they promoted it great and the premiere did very, very well. But you always hope, like back in the day when something would get, I remember I was on Johnny Bago and they said, oh, we got a 12 share. Like now a 12 share would be great.
Yeah.
But
oh, I know.
It was
that
a
failure. Was a disappointing
yes,
number.
Yes, in 1993 in the summer, it was like, no. You had to have gazillion, you know,
by the way,
times
doesn't Johnny Bago sound like a fake TV show name?
Doesn't it?
It sounds like
it
a sketch
does.
Name or
yes.
something.
Yeah. And those 8 episodes exist somewhere. Yeah. I don't know where, but you could see a 29-year-old me barely knowing how to drive.
Someone unearthed them. 29. So you did figure it out, going back to that, in the 4 days that you were
allotted. Yes, I got a driver's license, and the first time I had to drive on set, they said, Rose, drive the canine vehicle up and then hit that mark. So it's like, not only am I driving, I'm having to hit marks while driving.
Right.
And he said, stop short of the Arizona patrol car. So I just remember going, how many of those have you got? But I did it. But then they would do tow shots where they would, you know, hook the stuff to the hood of the car and pull you. And I thought, why can't LA just always be like this, where someone's just pulling you along? It's the greatest.
Oh, I know.
And it's just shooting you through the window, just making the steering wheel
hand
motion.
By the way, we both learned how to drive in Texas.
Oh, wow.
An unenviable place to learn how to drive would be California.
Yes, awful. Really bad. Because I think there's a lot of people who've been taught to drive by people who didn't know how to drive. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, there's people who came here who taught each other's relatives, their relatives. Yeah.
So here's how to cut people off like a douchebag on the 405. Right.
And signaling, not important, really. Yeah.
Optional. Yeah. It's really a style thing. Oh, man. Well, and I would be remiss if we did not ask you the question on everyone's minds.
Oh.
As far as Roy's boyfriends go, if you're Team Dean, Team Jess, or Team Logan?
No question. Ooh. About it.
Okay.
Dean.
Really?
Yes.
Dean.
Whoa. When you say no question and then you go Dean, everyone's going to be like, what?
I have a few questions.
Go ahead.
What was the most appealing part?
The number one reason? Mm-hmm. The man who played him.
Mr. Padalecki.
Adorable. Mm-hmm. The other two? Not my favorite. Are they listening? Do I care?
Probably not.
No.
No.
They all have better things to do.
I think the only cast member that listens to this is Liza.
I love her.
She's the sweetest. Yeah.
Recently, I realized she is married to, I've been a huge fan of hers forever, Paul
Edelstein.
Edelstein, who I'm an enormous fan of his from everything, but mostly Girl's Guide to Divorce.
Right.
He did amazing work on that. And it became my Facebook friend recently because I was like, we're in the same episode of Scandal. I can't believe I never knew. I knew she was married. I knew she had a kid. But I never put that together that they were married to each other. Mm-hmm. That's like a powerhouse talented couple there.
I know. I want to see that show that they did that she was talking about. The play where they met.
Oh, I didn't know.
They met at this I forget the whole story, but they met at like a retreat for actors. Not adult actors. But... Anyway.
I didn't know.
They did.
But no, those guys, I remember the scene with Milo, who played Jess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he came to have his car fixed, and I was like, Gypsy's kind of surly to him.
Right. This is season 4, right before he drives away after saying, I love you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we had that relationship in real life because he was, he's very talented too, but I remember saying you have a James Dean quality, or I don't know what it was. Something I said to him that I thought was a compliment, and he kind of got a little eye-rolly. And I thought, come on, kid.
Take it. If I was compared to James Dean, I would say, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, there was something about him that was very exasperated. Mm-hmm. Like, he was Jess all the time.
Right. He was very method. He was the Daniel Day-Lewis of Stars Hollow.
Boo. Didn't like him for her. My feelings about her boyfriend bled over into the real life person. But I loved the one scene I got to do with Scott where I say, you guys, you strip your gears, you ride your brakes, and if we don't laugh when we make a joke, you think we're stupid or something like that, where he asks if he brought me money to pay for the car with a bag with a dollar sign on it.
Right.
I love that one. Wow. I love that one. I remember I had like 19 marks to hit. In that one. That was the most difficult thing I've ever done. I'm more proud of that scene than anything I've ever done.
Was it a really long, master shot?
Because I had to slide out from the little dolly that goes under the car to check the car, sit up, not too high, not too low, don't block the wheel, sit up with the tool, then stand up, step on the little thing, look at the engine, wipe your hands, come around the car, go to the toolbox, not too high, not too low, don't block Scott, come back to the car. It was like one of those where you just had, here's a tape mark. I don't want to blow the magic of television for anybody, but it was very, very difficult to do.
Right.
Not the least of which was rolling out from underneath the car is very good sit-up work.
Yeah, that's like
Gypsy,
a Bruce Springsteen video right there.
He had a good ab workout. Yeah. But I just remember them saying, oh, Rose, we thought that motor oil would be too gross for Gypsy, so we put A1 steak sauce.
Oh,
thank you. Tell me to this day if I can even smell A1 steak sauce without vomiting. I cannot. It was A1. So what you see me wiping disgust. It would have been better if it was steak sauce.
Gilmore Girls
way worse than Motorola.
So much worse and sticky and horrifying.
And it ruined steaks for you.
It really did. I'm a vegetarian to this. Not just because of that, but in part.
Sure.
But yeah, that was gross. But I remember having a lot of fun with Jackson and Scott in that scene. That was one of my favorite scenes.
Do you feel like you have such, by the way, I just want to note how great your recall is of being able to quote line for line.
I know.
Well, I mean, I feel like most people we talk to, like, understandably, it was like 15 years ago.
I know.
Like, I think I did this.
I know. I kind of do remember. And I just remember that one of my favorite lines for sure is, how can a stupid donut be happy?
Oh, yeah. The happiest donut.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that. And I remember that episode, I believe. I was shooting, I think I open Andrew's mail, mm-hmm. like I read it. I was shooting That's So Raven and Gilmore at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember going from one studio to another. And I feel like if I look really closely, I'm doing Senorita Rodriguez voice a little bit. There's a little.
Oh, interesting.
To me, I wasn't thrilled with how she wasn't super gypsy.
Right.
A little bit. I don't want anyone to go back and look at that, though. Don't look. Forget I said it. Forget
let's
I said
roll the
it.
Clip.
But I just remember doing those, and they worked it out. Both production companies worked it out so that within the same day, I think, I was shooting both.
Right, yeah, which is kind of unusual. Yeah. Like, most times when you work on a TV show, and the schedule, like, it's an exclusive thing, and you can't go and do other stuff.
That was unusual. And I remember getting cast in Studio 60. Do you remember that show?
Mm-hmm. You were in Studio 60?
I got cast and couldn't do it because of Gilmore. And Liz said to me, if there's any advice I can give you, darling, is always take both jobs. Because it ended up being so hot on Gilmore that the equipment, something happened where we had to cancel.
Down.
We
oh
had to cancel,
gosh,
and
really?
I could have done Studio 60.
Oh, wow.
But I had to choose, and it was just like I was doing Gypsy, so.
Do you, with your great memory, recall what the role was on Studio 60?
Yes, it was a writer that I wouldn't have had. I think I would have only had like two lines, but it was a writer in that giant room.
Oh, yeah, when Matt Alvey's telling them how to do comedy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I guess you've never worked on a Sorkin production.
No, I haven't.
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
I like
Unless
how
you have
think.
An uncredited cameo in Steve Jobs.
I like how you think. I'm very curious to see that.
Yeah. I think it's going to be good.
Me too. Yeah. I really do. And I'm a fan of anyone talking quickly. And his shows always
There's not a lot of shows on like that anymore.
No, Scandal.
I feel like. Scandal. You know what was like that actually? Where it's like the faster the better. And they really figured out how to do that well. Was Happy Endings.
They did do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well. And I enjoyed my scene on that.
Mm-hmm.
Written by a very talented writer, Brian Gallivan, who did
The Sassy Gay Friend. What's that?
And the McCarthys.
Oh,
he
that's
wrote
right.
The McCarthys, yeah. And he wrote my episode of Happy Endings.
Yeah.
And while we were shooting it, he got the news that McCarthys was getting picked up.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I really enjoyed that show. Laurie Metcalf, I love that actress. Mm-hmm. I got to do Happy Endings as a tarot card reader.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a gypsy tarot card reader in Brothers and Sisters. I got to read Sally Field's cards.
Mm-hmm.
And in Pretty Little Liars, tarot card reader, and in Happy Endings, also tarot card reader. And they use my real deck of tarot cards in all three shows.
You have a real deck?
Little tidbit, yes. I have a real deck that I purchased at the Halsted Street Fair in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And I had gotten my cards read, and this woman who did them said, you have a talent for this. You mm-hmm. should get your own deck of cards. The very next booth, they were selling cards, so I bought them. And they've used them on TV because my deck is from Spain, mm-hmm. and the artwork can be cleared because they're from...
Oh, because so there's no like companies they have to talk to about
right.
that. Wow.
And so they used, and I remember reading Sally Field's cards on Brothers and Sisters, just having the most out of body experience, thinking, I'm sitting with Gidget, Sister Bertrill from Flying Nun.
Mrs. Gump.
I cannot believe, you know, I didn't see that movie.
You still haven't?
I'll tell you why.
Wow.
I'm very bitter.
Oh.
I was doing Johnny Bago, and Peter Dobson, who played my ex-husband in Johnny mm-hmm. Bago on camera, got cast to be Elvis in Forrest Gump. So while I was working on Johnny Bago, they said, oh, Bob Zemeckis' next movie is going to be the greatest, 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 greatest. It's called Forrest Gump. It's the greatest thing. And they explained the plot to me. And I was like, well, why is he going to use him, not me? You know, actors that want to be in everything.
For Elvis.
There was no role for me. Yeah, right. What did I want to be yeah. in it? There wasn't Jenny. Probably anything, somebody.
You
I don't know.
You could have
know.
Been Jenny the
So
gypsy.
I was like, I'm not going to go see that because I'm not in it. And then of course, everyone loves that movie, but I've never seen it since. I'll admit that. I will go back and see it. But Sally Field was lovely to me.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really fun. And I got to read her tarot cards. And the Pretty Little Liars. I read their tarot cards.
Yeah, which was on the same set as Gilmore, I believe. Or at least their Town Square set was the same
as
Stars Hollow.
Yes, Rosewood looked like Stars Hollow.
Rosewood is Stars
Hollow. And my friend, Rachel Kammerman, who is my locker partner and friend since seventh grade.
Wow.
Became the production designer for Gilmore and for Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, wow.
Is that crazy? And there was an article in Southfield, Michigan, written about the Southfield Five because Ron Zait, Rachel Kammerman, Bill Prady, myself— We were like five kids from Southfield High.
Bill Prady also
that all,
from...
Big Bang. Yeah. All ended up on Gilmore, Stan Zimmerman. Yeah. And all of us ended up on Gilmore, not because of each other, but just because we just did.
Right.
In different areas. Isn't that weird?
Wow.
That the five of us all ended up in
Something about your energy just lined up with Stars the Paladino Hollow. World.
Yep. Exactly.
I mean, I feel like it truly would be like a Chicago sensibility. And I think comedy in particular.
Yes.
Like one thing that really, and we've talked about before, is like the idea of comedy people that can do drama really
yes.
well. Because it feels like that transition is easier than dramatic people doing comedy.
I feel like you're right.
Yeah.
I think I enjoy watching comedy people do drama.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just remember thinking, I thought Dan Aykroyd was so funny and then seeing him in, I think it was Driving Miss Daisy or something that he did that was serious.
Okay,
was
yeah.
So satisfying. Or right. whenever Bill Murray does something dramatic, mm-hmm. It's just so satisfying.
Or Truman like Show, of course. Yes, and
yes.
Stuff like that.
I enjoy that a lot.
Because obviously, like, the role in Parenthood is so much more...
Gwen Chambers.
Yeah, it's not such a funny, silly role at all.
Levity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really had a great time. And Monica is a person from Chicago or outlying areas of Illinois, mm-hmm. So she just felt like a sister to me.
Right.
And I felt like right away I connected with Lauren and Monica like I had known them forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really fun people to work with. I really have been so lucky because I haven't... had a situation where I'm a guest on something where I go, oh, I never want to go back there.
Right. It's all been super positive experiences.
I have to say, none of them stick out as like big nightmares.
Right. Do any of them, does any day on any of the shows, Gilmore or otherwise, stick out as like, man, I really feel like I did something special that day?
I feel like, I just remember laughing. Like, I just remember the scene. Maybe this is a later, did you guys see the one where we knit in the town square?
I think that's season seven, Knit People Knit, yeah.
I just remember being so hot and itchy and wearing the sweater that Brenda had made in mm-hmm. college or something. It was like this wool sweater. And Melissa McCarthy walking by me and going, oh, they tried to give me that. They made you wear that? And then 2 seconds later, Lauren walking by. Oh, they made you wear that? They tried to give me that. And it was like, I was like the third person they tried to give this itchy sweater to. And I'm like, why am I putting up? But that's the kind of thing you do as a guest. You're like, okay, yeah. I'll wear
Whatever
the itchy sweater
want,
in 105 degree heat knitting in the town square. That
oh,
was
man.
Funny.
What
that
a
just
trooper.
That stuck out as a memory of, I wouldn't want to ever repeat that. But
sure.
But no, a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun at the baby shower one where we paint. We're painting onesies. Is that also from Seven? That might be also.
I don't know.
Lane has a baby.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's probably from Seven.
There's a baby shower.
Yeah. And so I remember, a lot of good memories from season seven.
Yeah, I guess it's the most recent, so I remember it a little clearer maybe. Yeah. But I remember also, too, did you remember the one where Emily and Richard renew their vows?
Right, yes.
We're getting to that.
Okay. So there's a scene where we're all, after the shower that Lorelai gives, mm-hmm. we ate a tremendous amount. In real life and in the show. And we're all collapsed with like crackers on our faces mm-hmm. and like passed out with cookies. And when you see the episode, you don't see how funny that really was.
Okay. Yeah. That's the next episode we're covering.
There's food all over us.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just remember passing out with Sally and her placing like Cheez-Its on my forehead and stuff. Like we really had fun making that.
Yeah. I mean, and I got to imagine just every one-liner from Liz and Sally and
hilarious.
And the war stories that they must have.
Oh my gosh.
We got to talk to Liz for like 5 minutes in Austin.
Oh, I heard that was great. And she gave me a shout out. So I want to give her a shout out.
She did. Yeah. She said Rose Apdo at the panel.
We really connected. She would call me, don't be so Hispanical. Cause she's Puerto Rican and my background's Dominican. You're Hispanical.
So Hispanical.
Yeah. If you'd panic about something, you're getting Hispanical. She's funny.
Well, do we have the lightning round queued up?
Ooh. Oh, I thought you wanted to do that as a warm up. The thing is, so many of my questions are things we've already
Can I
answered.
Tell our listeners that the Gilmore guys are each wearing delightful shoes?
Oh,
thank you.
They have excellent shoe wear and sock wear.
The Demi shoes kind of match my shirt.
They're lovely. Yes, they do. They have little dots.
That's true.
Very on purpose. Shoes. And his socks match my hair.
Okay. Your favorite role you've ever had, any show?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to say The Grinder.
Okay.
Right now.
Do you prefer television or theater?
That's so hard. I think I have to say theater.
All right. What's your favorite show on right now that you're not in?
Favorite show that I'm not in? Oh, that's so hard. That's so hard. I have to come back to that.
All right. Hot dogs or hamburgers?
Oh, neither.
Fair enough. We did get to you being a vegetarian, <That's right>. So me writing that is like, that's all I've got.
Yeah. Oh, I love those. But what's my favorite show that I wait for? Jeez, that's and my TiVo's clogged with shows.
Let's do one comedy, one drama. We'll do that.
I love Mike and Molly. Yeah. I love that show. It always makes me laugh out loud. I think Big Bang Theory is hilarious. Mm-hmm. But I think that The Goldbergs, one of my favorite shows.
Oh, wow.
I love that show. Jeff Garlin, I've known for years. I think Wendy McClendon Covey, I have like a crush on her, a talent crush on
She's
her.
She's so great.
That seems
She's
to be a show
so
you should be
funny.
On.
I want to be on that show. Part of me is like, do I want to be on it? Because I revere it. So I never want to like peek behind the curtain. No, I do want to be on it. Of course I want to be on it. Yeah,
Jeff Garlin,
I'll be a teacher, a parent, if they're listening. But I love that show. Goldberg, half hour shows. I love Goldberg's, Mike and Molly. I like Black-ish. I love hour long shows. I like How to Get Away with Murder. I want them to spring for a light. Is that so much to ask? It's so dark. I can't, like, what's going on? I can't.
It's a little dark.
It's so dark in the house, in the court. It's dark everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see a little more. Difficult.
Those are shows that burn through plot, like and Scandal,
like 78
too.
Pages long.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that much. I always feel like I'm watching three episodes worth of plot.
Yes, I agree. I'm very excited for you to see Scandal.
I know, the senator.
It's a lot of fun.
What can you tell us about the senator?
She wears incredibly nice clothes. When I got to that show, I was like, I can't tell anybody about what's going to happen, but I will tell you this. Boy, do I have a nice wardrobe. The money on that show, it's just like Kerry Washington's clothes are beautiful, so were mine. Like, just really, they really take care of you over there. But yeah, it's going to be good. I can't say anything.
Did you, it just reminded me of people who like stole wardrobe from the Gilmore Girls set. Did you take anything home with you?
What did I take?
When they wrapped?
Any cars?
I didn't take anything. I had my t-shirt from that episode Jackson directed, the Stars Hollow Museum, and I sent it to one of the girls that are fans.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I remember that. And I remember one year the girls, Rory and Lorelai, in real life gave us Gilmore Girls Gone Wild, these mugs with the two of them like, lifting their shirts up, but with like censored out. It was really cute. I gave that away too. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was the gift. Gilmore Girls Gone Wild. And Amy, one year we each got a skateboard that said Gilmore Girls. Like we got the coolest gifts I remember, but I've given them all to other people. But actual stuff of gypsies, I think I took the bag, the knitting bag, and the Stars Hollow t-shirt. I didn't take anything else.
So you were part, even though you were guests, you were part of all those rap parties and
yes. All that stuff. And you know, Amy's, they had such a lovely house that, in my opinion, resembled, the Gilmore House.
Really?
Yeah. Richard and Emily's home. There was something about the style and the way that her home was decorated. She would have these really beautiful Christmas parties. Mm-hmm. And it was fun to be there with like Marion Ross and you know.
Right.
Yeah. And Emily, who's Kelly, was fantastic. I love her. And Miss Patty and, you know. Liz and Sally was
just boozing it up all night
long.
Yeah,
it was really fun.
That would have been a fun rap party. Yeah,
they gave us martini glasses that said Gilmore was a gift one year. I remember. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. They were good, very good party givers, Daniel and her husband, Daniel, would direct me and write a lot of my favorite lines. He wrote. Daniel Palladino wrote. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big comedy guy.
Yeah, he would write a lot of good stuff for Gypsy. I remember that. Yeah, and I remember one time Scott. We were waiting in line. It's fall. We're outside. I don't remember why. And he said, hey, Rose, how's it going? Cut. Scott, you called her Rose again. He was supposed to say, hey, Gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
He said, God, in my mind, I think Gypsy Rose.
Oh, sure.
He couldn't, like, separate.
Sense.
It was funny. I just remember we did it over again a couple times because he'd call me Rose on camera.
Hey, Rose.
Yeah. It was nice.
Scott's a good guy. Well, this has been so fun.
So fun.
To catch up with you. And do you have anything to plug? Are you on social media at all? Twitter?
You know, I don't tweet. I don't like all those symbols that go with tweeting. Like the RT and all the little hashtags.
RT.
Although hashtag's a very good way of telling people how you feel when you say hashtag, you know, add that stuff.
Hashtag, but that's true.
You know, it's fantastic. But I'm on Facebook and I like when people, you know, talk to me about. I would prefer when people want to be my Facebook friend to say, like, I'm a fan of yours instead of just We have no one in common.
Instead
and
of just
nothing.
Adding.
Yeah, like I love a little note from people.
Yeah.
Oh, no, now I'm opening myself up to notes.
But you get home, there's 2,000.
No, but I really have some great, great, great Facebook friends that I've never met in real life that are big mm-hmm. fans of Gilmore Girls, and I love them. They're very great people, and they support everything. But coming up, I will be on the 7th episode of The Grindr
mm-hmm.
and the 4th, 5th, and 6th of Scandal.
Of Scandal. Yeah. Gallo Scandal yeah. arc. That's
and I fun. Did a movie called Other People with Molly Shannon.
Oh.
And Jesse Plemons from Friday Night Lights, who's he's
absolutely.
In the movie. And I have a very, very, very small part, but I think that's going to be a good movie. And I think that's all that's coming out. I think that's it.
Cool. Yeah. And then in the spirit of Gilmore and how pop culture obsessed everyone is on the show, what's one piece, I guess we talked about a little bit with TV shows, but what's one piece of pop culture, a song, an album, a movie you saw, a book you're reading, or a TV show you're watching right now that you'd like to plug, quote unquote, and just say that you're enjoying?
That's a good one. You know, I have a friend from Chicago named James C. S-I-E, mm-hmm. and he wrote a book called Still Life in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I am reading it now, and I am so proud of him because it's like when you know someone, you hang out in Chicago early theater days, and it's like, you're a novelist now. How cool is that? So that I will plug.
Okay.
And what else? My husband, I mustn't forget him, draws a napkin every single day, a cartoon on a napkin. He started because I was going through chemo. I was sick. He was trying to cheer me up. So he would go to like a Quiznos or a Subway, and whatever would happen there, he would draw as a cartoon on a napkin. And he would come home and show them to me, and they were so funny. And then I was sick, so I'd be like, oh, please show these to other people besides me. So he made a blog called Matta Napkin, and he is now over 1,000 napkins.
Oh,
he's
wow.
been doing Matta, it for 4 years.
Is it mattanapkin.com?
Mattanapkin.com. And please go to Matta Blogspot. If you Google Matta Napkin,
Matta Napkin. Okay.
You'll go into Matta gotcha, Napkin. Gotcha. And he, the book of napkins, 300 mm-hmm. napkins, is coming out November 11th.
Fun.
11/11, the napkin book that was right. inspired by me. And I couldn't be more proud of him. And he's really, he says he's not an artist. Someone said, why, your style is so minimalist. Could you explain your style? He goes, yeah, the people have no faces because I don't know how to draw. But he really does. Like his drawings, they're delightful.
Right.
I think people would be delighted by them. So please look at Matta Napkin.
Matta Napkin.
Yep.
Checks out. Do we have any pop
For
culture
sure.
we want to plug?
What do you want to plug?
Yeah, what's one thing?
So two bands that I really love, Fantagram and Big Boy, put out a collaborative album called Big Grams, and it's very good. So mm-hmm. that's my plug.
Those are two
week.
Very cool names.
They're both two very cool
yeah.
groups of people.
Two cool bands.
I love that. And what do you want to plug?
I want to plug Nico, because I was listening
Case?
To her. Not Nope, just regular one. And oh, I
These days.
Oh, yes, these days.
Ooh.
Fairest of the Seasons. I was just listening to her on the way here, and I really enjoyed it.
I love to be with the young people because you discover things that I enjoy that I would never have known about.
Oh, sure. Well, Nico's like 60s, I want to say. 66, 67.
She worked with the Velvet Underground.
Yeah.
Very nice.
The Velvet Unders. All right. Well, Rose, it was such a delight.
It's been so
to
fun.
To talk to you and go
on
through
on kind of a
lane.
Rainy Sunday afternoon.
I know.
And we never have those here.
That's yeah. what's fun. The first Gilmore Gab we ever did, I was thinking about this on the way here. The first Gab we ever did was with Helen and Sam on a rainy Sunday afternoon.
Love Helen Pye. And may I say that
yes.
Helen Pye's husband, Dave Rogalski, very talented musician and comedy writer,
mm-hmm.
is very close friends with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been very helpful in the Matta Napkin shooting little promos for it
and
really cool animating it, and he's super talented. So shout out to Dave Rogalski and
big stars
Helen
Holla.
And Sam Phillips is a goddess,
a genius.
She's fantastic. Yeah,
I know. I'm glad she made it over to Bunheads too.
Yes I got to finally meet her, and she's terrific and incredible, and like the mood of that show wouldn't be that show without her.
Of course.
Yeah
So cool. Rose, thank you. There's only one song we could play at the end of this.
Oh.
And I hope you're a fan of Fleetwood Mac.
Sure.
I'm sure you've heard this before.
I love this. Fantastic.
That I was a gypsy. Everybody.
gypsy. Nope, don't know the words.
Rose, gypsy,
I
Rose, Rose
it.
Abdu. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. I never made that association.
Yeah?
That the gypsy... I've always loved that song.
But you never associated it.
Never once.
That's hilarious.
Now I will forever more.
Well, That was a HeadGum Podcast.